إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعين به ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونسترشده ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله الله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون. أما بعد، أيها الإخوة الكرام، يقول ربنا جل وعلا في كتابه المبين، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق، خلق الإنسان من علق، اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم، علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم. Indeed, all praises belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator, sustainer, and controller of the universe and all within. Thus, we ought to praise him and thank him for his infinite grace, blessings, and mercy. We believe in him and put our trust in him. We must also seek refuge with Allah from the evil inclinations of ourselves and from the evil of our actions. Know that whoever chooses guidance, there is none to misguide him or her. And whoever chooses misguidance, there is none to guide him or her. I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship but Allah. He is one and has no partner. And I also bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the servant and messenger of Allah, whom Allah sent with the religion of truth and with guidance, so that this truth and this guidance from our Creator will become established in the land over all other ways of life, although the idolaters detest that. Dear brothers and sisters, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commissioned the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam as a prophet and messenger, he revealed the well-known and the most famous verses of Surah Al-Alaq to the Prophet alayhi salam. Out of more than 6,000 verses that Allah would reveal over a period of 23 years, he chose to reveal the first 5 verses of this surah. And in these verses, Allah the Exalted highlighted for mankind one of, if not the most important concept in which to make life possible in this world and to rectify life in this world, in this physical world, to set it aright, to set it straight, and also for our lives in the hereafter. In this concept is that of knowledge, brothers and sisters, and learning. Now, in these ayats that Allah revealed, the telling thing is that here he is commissioning Muhammad as a prophet and messenger. And he is now supposed to go to the people and tell them that he is a messenger from Allah, as a bearer of glad tidings and as a warner. But Allah did not say to him in revelation in Quran at this point in time, Muhammadun Rasulullah. This is an ayah in the Quran, but it will be revealed later on. Instead, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed these ayats, اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق, in which not only did he commission the Prophet alayhi salam as a prophet and messenger, but he sent this message to mankind that the only way to rectify life in this dunya, on this planet, the only way to set it straight is through learning. And I am sure we've all realized this, the importance of learning and how it impacts our lives every day. But what it seems like we've missed, brothers and sisters, is the value and the impact of learning in our spiritual life or religious life. Al-Imam Al-Qurtubi, in his tafsir of these ayats in Surah Al-Alaq, he mentions that
The fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught people through the use of the pen, writing, knowledge and learning, is a ni'mah azimah. Qatada said this is a great blessing of Allah. And Imam al-Qurtubi commented on this statement. He said in this statement there is evidence of the perfection of the bounties of Allah upon human beings by teaching them how to learn, the methods of learning, writing and reading. And we know, brothers and sisters, we know fully well and understand fully well the importance of education in our lives today. We know the importance of education in our material life. This is why from the time our children are born, we have great ideas about what they would and would not become in life. What schools they would go to, what universities they would attend, and even what profession sometimes we want them to go into. Al-Imam al-Qurtubi also commented, he said that with writing, meaning knowledge, fiha istiqamatu dunya wa deen, in knowledge, in learning, there is the rectifying and the setting straight of a dunya, life in this world, as well as our religion, our spiritual life. It is telling, brothers and sisters, that Al-Imam al-Bukhari in his Sahih, the very first topic he deals with is how revelation began. Because that's where it all started. Islam started with revelation to the Prophet alayhi salam. And the very next topic is Kitabul Iman, the book of faith. And the third topic is Kitabul Ilm, the book of knowledge. Even before he starts with wudu and ghusl and salah and zakat and all the other fiqh issues. How revelation began? That's the first issue. Al-Mawdu' al-Awwal. Wathani, Kitabul Iman, the book of Iman. And the third, Kitabul Ilm, the book of knowledge. In the book of knowledge, the very first chapter, Al-Imam al-Bukhari mentions two ayats from the Quran, among others. He mentioned the ayah in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is a statement in the ayah from Surah Yusuf, verse 78 in Surah Yusuf. Allah says, نَرْفَعُ دَرَجَاتٍ مَنْ نَشَاءُ. We will elevate to high degrees whomever we will and we wish to elevate. And Al-Imam al-Bukhari, after mentioning this ayah, tells us that one of the scholars among the tabi'een, Zayd ibn Aslam, he said that Allah will elevate people bil-ilm, with knowledge, with education. We will elevate to high degrees whomever we wish. That is with knowledge. And then Al-Imam al-Bukhari quotes another ayah we are all familiar with. وَقُلْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. And say, my Lord, increase my knowledge. These are verses Al-Imam al-Bukhari mentioned in order to prove and establish the virtues of learning and knowledge. Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar commented on this ayah and say, my Lord, increase my knowledge. He said this ayah clearly indicates the virtues of learning and education, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lam ya'mur nabiyyahu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talab al-izdiyad min shay'in illa min al-ilm. He said because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never ordered his Prophet alayhi salam to ask him for an increase in anything except knowledge. Read the Quran. Allah has never ordered the Prophet to ask for increase in anything but knowledge. Not wealth, not children, not followers, nothing but ilm, knowledge. And then Ibn Hajar continued to say, brothers and sisters, that the ilm here that Allah talks about here is al-ilm al-shar'i. It is religious knowledge. Alladhi yufidu ma'rifata ma yajibu 'ala al-mukallifi min amri deen. It is the religious knowledge that clarifies for the individual the obligations that he or she has in relation to matters of his or her religion. في عباداته ومعاملاته. In terms of the acts of worship that he or she is required to perform, and also in terms of the interactions with members in society. المعاملات. والعلم بالله وصفاته. This religious knowledge also encompasses knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His attributes and His qualities, and the relationship that the individual, the creation, ought to have and must have with the Creator. And then he finally said, وَمَدَارُ ذَٰلِكَ عَلَى التَّفْسِيرِ وَالْحَدِيثِ وَالْفِقْهِ. And he said, the resource of this type of knowledge is in tafsir, hadith, and fiqh. So it is time, brothers and sisters, we ask ourselves, what have we done in order to learn our deen? We live in a day and age where, with the typing of a few letters on your computer, you can get vast amounts of information on the internet. As a result, it seems like everybody has become mufti. A question is asked and everybody has the answer. Al-Imam Malik rahimahullah, when a man came and questioned him, asked him a number of questions. And to some of them he answered, and to others he said, I don't know. And at the end, the man was a bit disappointed. He said, I have heard so many things about you, O Imam Malik. We have heard, our community has heard so much about you and your knowledge and your greatness as a scholar. And yet there are many things you told me you don't know about. As if to imply that as a great scholar, how come you don't know these answers? And Al-Imam Malik, brothers and sisters, unlike many of us today who might feel embarrassed and ashamed that we don't know. Alright, so we give answers. And then we call up the Shaykh afterwards to say, is this the correct answer? That's wrong, brothers and sisters. You don't tell somebody something and then double check it afterwards. Double check it first, then you give them the answer. Al-Imam Malik rahimahullah said to the man, he said, when you go home, you announce to the people in your community that Al-Imam Malik said he does not know. He was not afraid. So what have we done, brothers and sisters, in order to learn our religion? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran in Surah Al-Hajj, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يُجَادِلُ فِي اللَّهِ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ وَلَا هُدًى وَلَا كِتَابٍ مُنِيرٍ. There are people who argue about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They talk about religion. بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ, without knowledge. وَلَا هُدًى, without guidance. وَلَا كِتَابٍ مُنِيرٍ, and without an enlightening book. Yes, of course, this ayah specifically came down talking about the disbelievers in Mecca and the hostility and the denial they displayed to the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it also contains a message for all of us, brothers and sisters. What have we done to learn our religion? And our learning has to be done by going to its sources. We go to the source in order to learn. And this is why when many of the Khulafa asked some of the scholars to come and teach their kids, they refused. They said to the Khalifa, Al-ilmu yu'ta ilayh wa la yati. You have to come to knowledge. Knowledge doesn't come to you. You come to where the knowledge is. There are scholars, brothers and sisters, like Al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, who refuse to teach the children of the Khulafa only. Special sessions for them. Said, in this deen, in this knowledge, everybody is equal. Your children and the children of the other people are the same, they're equal. No special classes. So what have we done to enlighten ourselves about our religion? I know. We have so many things happening in our lives. We're so busy we don't have time. There are classes here at the IIT, brothers and sisters. It is sad that we have 1,000 people or more for Salatul Jumu'ah. And then when we look at the registration for some of the classes, we see 5 people and 6 people. Am I to infer that mashallah, 995 people, mashallah, are ulama and mufteen? That they know these classes and they know the information? Remember, virtuous living cannot happen, brothers and sisters, without ilm, without knowledge. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed those verses, Surah Al-Alaq, to the Prophet alayhi salam from the beginning. That was the mission statement of the Deen of Islam. That virtuous living cannot be achieved except through learning, through knowledge. And that has to happen from the source. You go to the source and you learn from the source. Because that's how you have the assurance and the peace of mind that your knowledge of the deen is sound. That when you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're not assuming it's correct. You're not hoping it's correct. You are certain it is correct to the best of your ability. This is why in the first place, brothers and sisters, the scholars of hadith, the sahaba, starting with the sahaba and the tabi'een, they did not just accept hadith from anybody. They asked them, where did you hear this from? Who told you this? Sammu lana rijalakum. Muhammad ibn Sirin, one of the tabi'een, he said, كانوا لا يسألون عن الإسناد. That there was a time when nobody asked for your source. Who told you this? But when the fitna happened at the time of Uthman radiallahu anhu wa ardah, the scholars began to say, سَمُّوا لَنَا رِجَالَكُمْ. Tell us the people you heard this from. فَيُنْظُرْ مَنْ كَانَ مِنْ أَهْلِ السُنَّةِ فَيُؤْخَذُ مِنْهُمْ. And the scholars would look at the people who belong to Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they will accept their information, their hadith. وَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْبِدَعَ فَلَا يُؤْخَذْ مِنْهُمْ. And those who practice bid'ah, they would not accept their hadith. This is the level of verification, brothers. In the early days, that the Sahaba and the Tabi'een began and engaged in, for one purpose only, to ensure that when they worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they were doing so with certainty and surety. So, we need to ask ourselves, brothers and sisters, what have we done in order to truly learn our religion? To understand this message that Allah has revealed. It's a beautiful message, there's no doubt about that. To understand the life of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he is the greatest human being that will ever live and has ever lived. There's no doubt about that. But what have we done to truly understand this message and understand the life of the Prophet alayhi salam, how he understood the message of the Quran and how he practiced it? So not just the understanding, but the living of the message itself. What have we done? There are times when people say, well, there are no classes that are organized. And yet, like I said, right here at the IIT, there are classes where the registration is extremely low. Why? And now, brothers and sisters, even if you can't make it into the classroom physically, you can still attend the class via the internet. How much more easier than this do we want it? If we had to pack our bags and travel to Egypt for one hadith, subhanallah, it will never happen. Yet, Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu anhu, this sahabi, traveled to Egypt to meet with another companion, Uqba ibn Amir, to ask him about one hadith. Just one hadith. When he arrived in Egypt, he said to Uqba, he said, I've come to ask you about one hadith. Nobody remains who has heard this hadith but you and I from the Prophet alayhi salam. So he has nobody else to ask. Not in Medina or in Mecca. He travels from Medina, brothers and sisters, in those days, all the way to Misr, to Egypt, to ask Uqba ibn Amir radiallahu anhu about the hadith that is known as Sittur al-Mu'min. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, Man satara mu'minan min al-khizyati satara Allahu yawm al-qiyamah. This is the hadith. Whoever shelters and covers a believer at a time when he or she is embarrassed, in a situation where he or she is embarrassed, then Allah will shelter and cover that individual on the Day of Judgment. He traveled from Medina to Egypt just to reconfirm this hadith. Indeed, this is how the Prophet ﷺ said it. He traveled from Medina to Egypt. And today we find it too difficult. We don't have the time to either come into the class physically or at home, mashallah, with the click of the mouse, as we say, and the touch of a few buttons, join a course or a class. It doesn't have to be with the IIT, by the way. But what have we done, brothers and sisters, for our religion? As Al-Imam Al-Qurtubi said, there is no virtuous living except with ilm, with knowledge. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless all of us, and He will open our hearts and our minds so that we can understand this wonderful message He has revealed for the upliftment of human beings in this world as well as in the next world. And may Allah the Exalted inspire us all to live by this message. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us and bless us to be among those who continue to learn, to seek knowledge of His religion, and to understand the message that He has revealed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us from on the straight path, and may He protect us from the whisperings of shaitan and from the deceptions of shaitan, who keeps us busy so that we believe we don't have time for the more important things in life. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ مِنْ كُلِّ ذَنْبٍ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. اللهم الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى وبعد. Let us also send peace and blessings upon the Messenger of Allah, for Allah has commanded us to do so in the Quran when He said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وارض اللهم عن الخلفاء الراشدين الأئمة المهديين أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي وعن بقية أصحاب نبيك أجمعين وعنا معهم بمنك ورحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين وأذل الشرك والكفرة والملحدين وانصر عبادك الموحدين. اللهم انصر إخواننا المسلمين المستضعفين والمظلومين والمجاهدين في كل مكان. اللهم أفرض عليهم صبرا وثبت أقدامهم وانصرهم على القوم الكافرين وانصرهم على القوم الفاسقين وانصرهم على القوم المجرمين. اللهم اجعل لهم من ضيقهم مخرجا. اللهم انصرهم بنصرك وأيدهم بتأييدك وأمدهم بمددك وأنت على نصرهم لقدير. اللهم اشف مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين. We ask you, O Lord, to send down your healing and your cure upon our brothers and sisters who are sick and suffering. Allahumma rabban nas adhibil ba's ishfi anta shafi. Cure them, O Lord, for you are the only healer and cure. Ishfi anta shafi, ishfi anta shafi. La shifa'a illa shifa'uk. There is no cure but yours. Shifa'an la yughadiru saqma. A cure that leaves behind no trace of illness. Allahumma khaffif alamahum wa yassir lahum umurahum. And O Lord, we ask you to ease their pain and their suffering and to make easy for them the affairs of their lives. Allahumma alhimhum as-sabra wa thabat wa rida bima qadayt. And O Allah, we plead with you to also inspire them with patience and steadfastness, to submit to and to accept what you have decreed. Allahumma ajirhum fi musibatihim. And we ask you, O Lord, to reward them for their patience and steadfastness in bearing the trial that they face in their lives. Wa akhlif lahum khayran minha ya arhamar rahimin. And to replace it with something better for them, O Lord. Allahumma ighfir li jami'i mawta al-muslimin. And we ask you, O Lord, also to have mercy on our brothers and sisters who have passed away. Allahumma ighfir lahum warhamhum. O Allah, forgive them and have mercy on them. Wa'afihim wa'afu anhum. And to pardon them and forgive, overlook their faults. Waghsilhum bil ma'i wa thalji wal barad. And to wash away their sins with water, hail and ice. وَنَقِّهِمْ مِنَ الذُّنُوبِ وَالْخَطَايَا كَمَا يُنَقَّى ثَوْبُ الْأَبْيَدُ مِنَ الدَّنَسِ. And to purify them from sins as a white garment is purified from impurities. اللهم جازيهم بالإحسان إحسانا. We ask you, O Lord, to reward them for the good they have done with an increase in goodness. وَبِالسَّيِّئَاتِ عَفْوًا وَغُفْرَانًا. And for the mistakes they have made with forgiveness and pardon. اللهم أجرهم من فتنة القبر وعذاب النار. And we ask you, O Lord, to save them and protect them from the torment of the grave and the punishment of the fire. وأدخلهم الجنة مع الأبرار. And to admit them into paradise in the company of your righteous servants. يا عزيز ويا غفار يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم ارحمنا إذا سرنا إلى ما قد صاروا إليه. And we ask you, O Lord, to show mercy upon us whenever we meet the same end as they have met. Allahumma ighfir lil muslimina wal muslimat. Allahumma aslih shabab al muslimin. And we ask you, O Lord, to guide and protect our youth and our children. Allahumma ihfazhum min waswasati shaytani wa kaydih. We ask you, O Lord, to protect them from the whisperings of shaitan and from the evil plots of shaitan and the temptations of shaitan. Allahumma habib ilayhim al-iman wa zayyinhu fi qulubihim. We ask you, O Lord, to make faith beloved to them and to beautify it in their hearts. Wa karrih ilayhim al-kufr wal-fusuq wal-isyan. And let disbelief and disobedience and rebellion become hateful to them. Waj'alhum min ar-rashidin. And cause them to be among those who are rightly guided. Allahumma ighfir lil-muslimina wal-muslimat والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك قريب سميع مجيب الدعوات وقوموا إلى صلاتكم.